So I'm going to do a little quick review for the last few weeks. Don't worry, some of those questions, those stories were not like just filler for the lesson. But I do want to go over kind of review of the week. I'm going to look down, sorry, on this so that I can say all that I'd like to say. So y'all have this on your handouts. But week one, we talked about, Carol began reminding us that our children belong to God, just as we belong to God. She got us thinking about what you want and dream for your children. She said that we can be the most important tools in God's hands as He forms our children's souls and hearts to beat for God. And she told us that cool story about her nephew telling his children, the older children, that you're an older, faster 6-year-old called to love the younger, slower 4-year-old. Remember that? And how the, our children look to us to tell them who they are. Just but ask us to think about as we take on that kind of a task, that as that God's voice defines us too. And that not our parenting. Our parenting is not, or anything else in our lives, defines not what defines us, but that God is what defines us. And she asked us, what voice is defining you right now? So and then the next week, too, Elizabeth talked about the high calling of motherhood. We looked at Deuteronomy 6, that even as we are shepherding our own children's hearts, that we need to let Jesus be the shepherd of our hearts. We looked at John 10, and she described how a shepherd leads, guides, cherishes, feeds, and protects. And then a mother does all these things for our children, but that Jesus does those same things for us. That remember how she gave you all the heart sunglasses? Remember that? And that our prayer should be, Lord, let me see my child through your heart eyes, because God looks at the heart, and He will give us the ability to see and understand our children's hearts. So then the next week after that, we looked at God's design for your children's development, that He's given those particular children to you, and He's given us families. That's God's design for growing and guiding and leading and understanding. Our children to understand God and His world and people. And we talked about how the family is like a mini church, and that first job is to show them Jesus and to declare the glories of God to the next generation, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that the power of the Spirit will give us grace to be God's family. And the week after that, Carol talked about authority, and that authority issues are heart issues that for us as well as our children. That, and she said how authority is about being wiser, that the battle is not about the green veggie, it's about the heart, and that we are angry about things that get in the way or the things that we want. In the emotions of the moment, God reveals what's inside our hearts. And I loved how she said that grace won't make me feel adequate, it will make me engage. We are living in constant dependence on Jesus. And then in the next week, that was when Nell Bush came, and it's online. So if you need a refresher course at any time, you can go and listen to it. And her talk was on love and discipline God's way, which I thought, I know we all did too, it was one of her best. A few of the things that she mentioned was how we don't separate, children don't separate out love and discipline. It's all just the good times from the bad times. It's all one package to them. And how she said that Jesus changed His approach depending on the person, and that she encouraged us to do that careful observation of our children and to do the same, because Jesus knew that each person so uniquely. She talked about the atmosphere of the home, practicing love and patience, establishing a trusting environment, and providing effective discipline. So that's why we're going to have that panel next in 2 weeks. So be sure to submit questions if you have them. Then the next week, Elizabeth talked about establishing biblical goals for your family, how God's the builder and Jesus is the foundation of our home, and the vision for our homes is the glory of God. That our homes should be lighthouses to draw others to Him, that women are life givers, and that where are you giving life in your homes? Are your words full of life? And are you being filled with God, who is the fountain of life? She challenged us not to look for affirmation, as Carol has done this also. It's a repeated theme that keeps coming up in our children's performance or their behavior. That she's saying, she asked, remember that we filled out cards, you know, what is making you feel anxious or fearful or discouraged, overwhelmed? And then you wrote those cares on cards and then cast them on the Lord. So then we talked about the next week how we are transformed by Christ when we believe in Him and are united to His Spirit. And therefore we're filled with His power, that living water, and we draw on that Holy Spirit, to discern His will and follow Him in that process of parenting. And then the next week, Carol talked about that gift of communication that we have that is from God, who's the perfect communicator. And the most important component of that communication then is therefore our relationship with God. So the fine art of communication is not learning how to express our thoughts. It's learning how to draw out the thoughts of others, helping our child to articulate thoughts and feelings, and that our goal is to understand what's in their hearts by asking them careful questions, just like God does with us. And then last week we talked about how in John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." And just like Carol said, Elizabeth kind of re-emphasized that. Now, our number one priority then is knowing God and communicating with Him. Learn to know His voice and teach your children to know His voice. She mentioned listening and is key to discerning His voice, and talked about ways that God speaks, and talked at length about prayer, which any of these talks you can like go listen online at this website right here. And if you want a refresher on any of these individual weeks. So prayer being one of the most important communication methods that you can use to shepherd your children's hearts. So let your children see that you believe in prayer, and then celebrate His answers. So to this week, this just kind of overarching life of communication. Literally, it's our life. We spend a life fostering, abiding, and the fragrance of abiding. That's kind of just communicating. We're communicating with God. We're communicating with others, especially we're focusing on communicating with our children. So I'm going to try to get through this quickly. Y'all remember Mary Poppins? So when I was 5, I got mumps, and we didn't have, any kind of like, Netflix or anything like that, where you could just watch it whenever you wanted to. So I listened to it on a record about constantly, like started over and over and over again. So I could sing any song from Mary Poppins if you wanted me to, but please don't ask. But one of my favorite scenes is when they're floating on the top of the room. I love to laugh, and some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Others, they twitter like birds. Then there's the kind that can't make up their minds. Wow. Do you remember all that? Okay, so that's like communication. I mean, like, it's different for every family. So we can't compare each other to each other. And there, even within your own family, there are some that are really articulate. I mean, Carol and Elizabeth are really good at communicating. So it's really hard sometimes to stand up here and be like, they did a really good job last week. And then it's me. So we just can't do that. We can't compare ourselves to one another, and how, like, you might have a really articulate spouse or one of your children. Communication is different for each person. But God, I want y'all to look at this. When God called Moses, and He's like, just send somebody else. I cannot speak. And he had given him miracles that he was going to show him, signs that you can do, that will equip you. I've equipped you, Moses. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. I've never been able to do it, God, ever," is what he's saying. "I'm slow of speech and tongue." And then the Lord said to him, "Who made man's mouth? And who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" In other words, it's a rhetorical question. I made you, Moses. I made your mouth, and I will equip you, in other words. So that's what Jesus said the same thing. I don't think I gave. Yeah, I have it. Jesus said the same thing in Luke. "The Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you are to say." Call on Him, Elizabeth. You took us to that verse in Jeremiah last week. call on the Lord, and He will give you the words that you are to say in the moments when you don't know, because most of the time we don't know what to say, you know, to our children and our families. But communication is verbal and nonverbal. I mean, those of you who have babies and non-speaking toddlers, you have a lot of communication that is nonverbal. So remember that too. We're not just talking about verbal communication. So anyway, okay. So what does this life of communication look like? So, sorry, I keep going to little stories, but my dad grew up as an only child in Dallas, and so my grandparents, I saw a lot, his parents, and they came over all the time. We went over to their house all the time, and, you know, did the same thing all the time, drank Coke from a bottle, played 42, swang real high in a swing at the playground across the street, dressed up in my grandmother's, you know, cool little, you know, 1950s, you know, skirts, and it watched Miss America and Lawrence Welk. It was, you know, fun times. So anyway, but the best memories that I have of them is that every night my grandfather, and when they put us to bed, he would sit at the foot of my bed and tell us stories. And it was always, he would tell us the same stories over and over again. He grew up on a farm in East Texas, and pop stories is what we'd call them. We loved listening to them. He could not put us to bed without pop stories. Stories about when he was a young man, when they were dating, when he was working, back when he moved to Dallas, just anything about when he was a kid on the farm. So, you know, we would say things like, you know, tell us the one about the snake in the cellar, tell us the one about, you know, the storm, tell us the one about, you know, riding the white horse in the rain, tell us, you know, just, we knew that they all had names. And abiding is kind of like that. You know, that eagerness, that desire, that listening, you know, you knew just Jesus revealing himself to us, building that relationship with us. Abiding actually means, you know, dwelling with, remaining with, living with. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's this building of a relationship that you're having with Christ. We live with him and fellowship with him. We are making much of Jesus in our life. We're spending time with him, getting to know him, just like you would a friend. Somebody you want to know. You're thinking of him during the day. It can be a discipline sometimes, because sometimes we're all self-centered and thinking of ourselves, but it pays off. It's the most satisfying thing you can do in your life, the most secure, the most authentic thing that you can do. It's a lifetime process of joy. This is what 1 John is talking about, the same John that wrote John. He's saying, that which we have seen and heard and proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, and Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are it's really hard to describe, but other people could communicate it to you better than me. But I'll attempt it. They are perfectly united in a joyful communion. And for some reason, they wanted us to be a part of that. Isn't that incredible? And so, amongst the union of the Trinity, decided that Jesus would come to earth and make a way so that we sinful people could join in the holiness of God. And that's what John's talking about. He's saying, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And so when the Word himself, incarnate, comes to earth at Christmas time so that we might become part of this union, this fellowship, this is what abiding is about. Does that make sense? Okay. So, that's what I'm talking about, that fostering abiding. That's what you're doing. You're getting to know Jesus. So Mary did that. Remember Mary and Martha? Everyone's heard the story about Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and I'm the terrible one who was in the kitchen being Martha. Okay, but Don't think about that right now, okay? But I want you to think about how Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And then after she did that, a few chapters later, she had been sitting at Jesus' feet. She had been enjoying the fellowship and listening to Christ and developing that relationship. She took, therefore, a pound of expensive ointment and made a pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So have you ever, like, been around somebody that you can really smell their perfume? Yeah, you all have. Okay, so that's just one person. So this whole house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume of this worship that she's expressing. She can't help herself. She's worshiping him so much. So that's the fragrance of abiding. When you abide in Christ, it's just that's the fruit of the Spirit that happens. When you don't focus on the fruit, focus on the abiding, because then you're just going to be that person walking around. It talks about this in 1 Corinthians. You're going to be walking around, and they'll be like, I smell her. Yeah, I smell her. So, okay. So, a few of the things I want to talk about, a few of the characteristics of the lifestyle. Well, okay. Do y'all want me to talk about, like, some of the things, okay, of abiding? Oh, just really quick. So, I brought some of the things that I do just to help me abide with the Lord personally. Everybody needs to find the thing that works for them. Because I've tried a lot of things, and some things work, some things don't. Some, you know, like, I cycle better at times than other times. But I found a journal like this, it works for me. You know, you don't have to use this journal. I'm not saying that you have to use this journal. But this is what works for me, okay? So, in my journal, I am a writer, I'm a visual person. Like, think about you. Are you an auditory person? Are you a, you know, visual person? Are you a kinesthetic person, whatever. What are you like? Okay, think about that. I have to write. I have to see it. It helps me. It helps me concentrate. There's Beth's card. It helps me to write down my prayers. I write down this little tab in here that I have in there is my prayers for my children. So this is the constant prayers that I have for my kids that I say. This one is from 2008. I just grabbed one up and brought it. But like on one side, I'll have like the scriptures that I'm praying every year, every day for that year for my children. So it's pretty much the same. I'm saying the same thing for them on one side, and then on the other side of the page will be like this has got that little tab. I didn't do it this year. I did. Like somebody needs a job, or somebody needed to pass a test, or whatever the current thing is about them. This one is, I want the Lord to instruct them and teach them a way to go, counsel them, and watch over them. Well, that's going to be an ongoing prayer that I'm going to pray for them for a long time. I want them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Find scriptures that you like, that you want to pray for them. For example, surround him with your unfailing love as he trusts in you. On this one, I don't have this. Okay, so then a few years ago, I read a book called The Praying Life. And it really helped me because I couldn't pray for, as you can see on this side, it was like every person. And I was getting too overwhelmed. I don't have much time. I can't pray for all the people I have to pray for. Unless you're like Rick Layman, you get up at like 3 a.m. I don't do that. So sorry, but it did help me if I could do like maybe 3 or 4 cards in a day. So like I have like cards of people that like I can do 4 cards a day, and I just keep it like this. I just okay, we got that done in a day, and it rotates. So that's how I do cards for various people, and you know, you give me your card, it goes in the stack. So that's how I keep up with my people. Sick people, People have been praying with for a long time. Pretty soon the rubber band will not be big enough. But somebody else in my family has like one of those like clippy things that,
a ring.
Thank you. And that's, it keeps it in the car to pray because he travels a lot. So he prays for people and keeps it like that. Doesn't have as much stuff on each person. You know, like I have things about this person that I'm praying, you know, children, something about their marriage, blah, blah, blah. You know, so, but he just puts the person's name, but maybe has a better memory than I do. So, so that's a couple things about prayer. If you want to know about more about details about how to pray scripture, about reading scripture, have a plan. That's the best thing I can say to you about reading scripture. Pray for time and have a plan. The Lord will give you time. All your children don't have to be asleep, by the way. Okay? You can pray and read your Bible if your children are awake. I know that sounds like crazy, but like it's good for them to see you praying and reading your Bible. So if you want to say, you know, like, hey, why don't you read your Bible and Mommy is going to read her Bible? And if they want to talk to you while you're reading your Bible, then that's okay. Say, you know what, set the timer. You know, don't use your phone timer. Like, get a kitchen timer and say, like, for 10 minutes, Mommy's going to be quiet and talking to God, and you be quiet, and then, you can try it. I'm not saying, but you know what? You might be surprised, because for some reason, it works with my husband. They're quiet for him. So it can work, okay? So also, like, little things like this around the house. Look how demolished this is. I have had this for so long, especially the one that says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit, and has the little thing with the tiny little foot crushing a flower. I have had this since my kids were so little, and it has been all, you can tell it's so watered up. Can you see it? It's because, like, I have needed this so bad to remind me to speak kind words. You know, like, let God's word go in you throughout the whole day. And then the other one that I've used, like, get these kinds of things, and I just turn to them. They're not just, if you're not seeing it anymore, turn to a different one. You know, the other one is a gentle heart turns away wrath, can't say things when I'm standing up in public, but a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, just like a bee. So anyway, these things are really helpful. And as your kids get older, you'll have more time, but it's very important to make the time now and find the time now. It doesn't have to be the morning. It can be any time. It can be during the day. It can be at night. Find the time. So, just a couple of things that I'm going to mention about, and then we'll let y'all go. About just communication, I'm going to mention four words. Humility. Recognize what you bring. Be willing to ask forgiveness. And then I put healthy curiosity, because we've been talking a lot about asking questions, but if we're not careful as mothers, we can be really pestery. Okay, so we could be like, well, what'd you eat today for lunch? Blah, 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 blah. Who's going to be there? And why are they there? And who was there? And when did, you know, do you want me to wash your clothes? And I mean, it's like before the end, they're like, oh my gosh, Mom, you know, like, be sensitive. Like, let's be sensitive to the person. You know, like, ask, let's be sensitive to the timing and the careful amount of the questions. You know, like somebody mentioned, one of either Carol or Elizabeth, you know, look for the time that the child wants to talk. You know, so we want to ask the questions not out of fear or our own insecurity, but because we want to be sensitive to them and drawing out of their hearts. Okay, also one of the best times for fostering this kind of healthy curiosity and this atmosphere of the home is mealtime. Not every meal, we don't have to have every meal sitting down, but it could be breakfast, it could be dinner. They say dinner is the best time, but all this research says mealtime, dinner time is just, it's the prime time. It's the family togetherness. I mean, they say things for like, it's even like makes your children healthier and more well-rounded as people. I mean, like all the research, there's like this one lady said, as a family therapist, I often have the impulse to tell families to go home and have dinner together rather than spending an hour with me. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? I looked that up. But anyway, so, and then just the home atmosphere. Have fun. Like, laugh. Have a good time. Laugh at yourself. Laugh with your kids. Dispel the grumpiness and complaining and bad attitudes with fun. Have a good time. Just laugh. Speak kindly and have a good time. And let your faith be contagious. All right, y'all. It's a lot to take in. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you so much. It's imperfect, but we love you. Thank you so much for each one of these moms that is here today. They just, I see their faces, they're just eager, and they're seeking you. They want you to equip them and fill them and be with them, and I just pray that you will. I thank you that you've promised that you will give us everything that we need for life and godliness. So we just trust you, we thank you that you are the Word incarnate. You have spoken to us in your Son. You have given us your Spirit. You want us to fellowship with you. We praise you and worship you this morning. Bless each small group time. In Jesus' name, amen.